Your Royal Highness, Salaam Alaikum. On behalf of the Center for Strategic Philanthropy at the University of Cambridge, thank you for agreeing to speak with me today about the advent of strategic philanthropy in the emerging markets, and more specifically our Gulf region, and the power of collaboration to boost impact. Her Royal Highness Princess Lamia bint Majid Al Saud is the Secretary General and a member of the Board of Trustees of Al Waleed Philanthropies, a major charitable and philanthropic organization that was established in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia over 40 years ago. Over the last four decades, Al Waleed Philanthropies has led and delivered projects in more than 189 countries, investing more than $4 billion on a variety of social welfare initiatives, benefiting over a billion people around the world. Princess Lamia is also a successful publisher and author, and her powerful first novel, published in 2010, titled Children and Blood, explored the confronting subject of honor killings in the Middle East. Her Royal Highness is the recipient of a number of well-deserved awards for her philanthropic work and leadership over the last years, and we're grateful that she has agreed to share some of her unique insights and experiences with us today. Your Royal Highness, perhaps we can begin with Al Waleed Philanthropies, which many will already be aware of. How would you describe this unique organization's philanthropic mission and philosophy, and how it has evolved over the past four decades to cater for changing needs and priorities of society here in the Middle East and beyond?
First, I would like to thank you for the amazing introduction. I'm very honored and I'm humbled. Thank you very much. You give me more than I deserved. And I'm very happy to be here with you today. I think gathering for a better future and search for the right opportunity to do so. As we were discussing from a couple of minutes ago, there is a lot of kind-hearted people around the world. And there is a lot of people who's donating their time, their money, their effort to do good and to make the world a better place to live in. But it's some of those people who have this strategic vision, how to deliver their fund, their perspective, how to give a hand, how to help, how to support. And thanks God, we're very blessed to have our chairman, one of them. So Prince Waleed, he started this foundation the day he started Kingdom Holding. It was in the same day he got the first project. He decided that amount of this project, beside the zakat, amount of this project going to go for people in need. Well, alhamdulillah, that we have been doing along the year. That person who I learned a lot personally from him, which I learned literally per second from him, he get a view on how to give back to the community, do good, promote for tolerance, for understanding, for accepting the others. And one of the main thing that I always ask His Royal Highness, why you didn't specialize in something? And he said, why should I specialize in something? If God give me this access for a lot of people and I can know a lot of need, then that will be it. So let us help as much as we need. But yet, as a Secretary General and as a person who's very honored to be on my chair, I'm very happy with my team, all what you mentioned better, with 1 billion beneficiaries, with $4 billion, with 189 countries around the world. It's only 10 Saudi ladies who's doing all of this show that you're seeing and all of the success. And honestly, all the awards that you mentioned and all the recognition that I'm getting personally, it's because of those ladies. And I'm very grateful to be one of those teams, one of this team.
That's very inspiring. Thank you. I understand the Al Waleed Philanthropies has invested over $30 million to help communities in the Middle East and North Africa respond to COVID-19. Can you describe how you designed and implemented your response to the pandemic that took us all by surprise? And how do you think that this experience might affect how people think about the role of strategic philanthropy in responding to these kinds of crises in the future?
Well, actually, as you said, we always strategize our moves. So we didn't respond, or we didn't announce our commitment in the right beginning. We waited for a couple of months just to see what's going on, where is the need. And this is the beauty of our type of work. We don't work with our own hands. We strategize, we see where is the gap, and we try our best to close it, narrow it, or work with others to just do the best for people in need. And that's what happened with the COVID. We actually did almost six initiatives in the Middle East and Africa, which I believe that in the beginning everybody was really worried about about the Gulf area, about states, about Europe, what happened in Italy, what happened in Japan, and what happened in China. No one were really in this moment really looking into the Middle East and the refugees, Africa, what's going to happen, how they're going to face that. And thanks God, we were very successful to collaborate with some of our old partners, such as the Gavi, the Bill Gates, the Splash, the ICESCO, the UNICEF. We some of the fund we redirected toward the COVID pandemic response, and we put another almost 21 million as a new complete project that we did with to improve testing or to for a public health initiative. It's not only about the during the pandemic. We also looked the post-pandemic, what those people in Africa, because if we're going to take, me and you, we're going to take this vaccination in a couple of months, those people will not take it in years. So we needed to get their community ready with masks, sanitations, and equipment that it's for us, it's very easy to get, and it's nothing matter with us getting a 2-3 boxes of masks and gloves. But for them, it's a huge thing. So we actually, alhamdulillah, we built small factories in countries in Africa for the mothers and the youth to work in it and produce sanitation and masks for the community. And this is will increase their income, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We worked, of course, with WHO, the CDC. We worked in accelerators, in how to improve the testing. We worked on a lot scientific project, but because we always look to the people and the human beings, so we had to satisfy the need. And of course, we worked with the UN Habitat for Shelters. You know, this pandemic, it's very important to have to isolate yourself. And this is for refugees. It's not an option, unfortunately.
And the way that you've described that, Your Royal Highness, you really encapsulated so many aspects of strategic philanthropy, not just, as you say, focusing on the immediate, but also on the future and building resilience going forward, and also the power of collaboration, because we can all go further together. And that's something which is really underpinned by the spirit of strategic philanthropy. Taking a step back to look at the sector evolution in the region, how do you think that the nature and practice of philanthropy in the Middle East and North Africa has changed during the time that you've been involved in the sector yourself? And how do you think that the youth of today will change the way that philanthropy is practiced in the future?
Well, us as Muslim, or this part of the world, we have this as a core in our beliefs and religion and how we've been brought up. It's giving back to the community, helping others. Even if you smile in a person's face, this is doing good at the end of the day. That's what we believed in. But, you know, after I have been working in this domain for now 2001, it's going to be the eighth year, and I see a huge transformation in this specific arena. So honestly, sometimes I contradict myself because I'm not very good with technology. Maybe my daughters are much more knowledgeable than me. But honestly, technology made philanthropy much easier, helping people, reaching out, the reach, the creating awareness. It's very easy. It's not what we used to do before. And it gives you a wider perspective how you can help. We're not using the old methods, but we're now, if you want to know a conversation, you just can go online and just check on Facebook. There's communities on Facebook that you can enter and understand from refugees, displaced people, special need people. You can understand what they want in certain areas of the world. So what's changing, I know the misery is getting bigger, but subhanAllah, God give us the tools to serve better. So I'm from the positive side of the story always. And I like always to see the solution more than the problem. The problem will be there always, but you looking to it from a different perspective and trying to have a unique solution for it that can be sustainable, which is very important. Maybe that's what we used to face before, that we don't have a sustainable philanthropy. You always donate to do a masjid, you always donate for elderly, for sick people, for orphanage, but you never, we never thought of a sustainable project that can benefit those people moving forward and how you can have a positive impact on life, on people's life. And what I see now along the year that people start, even the CSR of companies, they start telling you, you know what, no, I don't want to be a sponsor in an event. I want to do something that will reflect on the community, that will I gain from it moving forward. Those youth will have a loyalty for my brand, which is very, very, very smart technical marketing technicality. But at the end of the day, I don't care for me. I care that they start being involved in communities and how to reflect and how whatever, even though if they're going to create a loyalty for their brand, but at the end of the day, they're benefiting the community.
Beautifully said. Zooming in on the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which of course is the largest economy in the Arab region, the country launched the Saudi Vision 2030, which is a strategic framework to diversify its economy and develop public service sectors such as health, education, and tourism. I've heard you speak about the role of organizations such as Al Waleed Philanthropies in helping to support these kinds of national strategies. Speaking from experience, we don't often witness the type of authentic collaboration between sectors that we need to see to advance our common objectives. What do you think makes for successful collaboration between business, government, and the social sector?
It's what make it very successful. It's the goal. What do you want to do? Honestly, if as you said again, we go how to strategize things, and maybe this is where we come as Al Waleed Philanthropy, because we're dealing a lot with international partners, so we have this kind of mentality in how to leverage out of 3-4 partners on the same project and give everyone what they want. So I'll give you an example when for the special needs are His Royal Highness, he's a big investor in Kareem, and now it's Uber. We did an initiative, it was in support of women after His Majesty declared that women can drive. 48 hours after, we did a collaboration with Kareem. We donated cars for ladies. We give them the license. And now there is almost 70 of them on the street, Captain Kareem. But we wanted to do something more that will reflect really on the community. So we had a very nice collaboration and very successful collaboration with an entity here called Harakia. It's for the physical disabled people. And we went to them and we said, we want them to be Captains Kareem. And they said, what are you talking about? And we said, yes, there's a machine that they can drive with their hands. They don't need their legs. And actually we have almost 100 of them, Captains Kareem. You don't understand how their life flipped. Wizarat al-Amal, it's included in that. Wizarat al-Adl is included in that. So everyone, Wizarat al-Shu'un, or al-Amal, or Tanmiyat al-Mawarid, what they want to benefit those people with the unique ideas. They're providing everything from medicine or wheelchairs or support. But I think it's our role as an NGO and NPOs to do the extra mile and to give them an economical support and a kind of knowledge support. So that's what we did. So we give the government what they want. Careem, it's a good marketing for them and Uber. So it was a very good opportunity for them. For us, it's helping people. So it's all about what do you want? You have to understand the players, what the players want. And you have to be very smart on satisfying and pleasing each and every one of them.
What a great story. And I think it would make a great case study. I'd encourage the Center for Strategic Philanthropy at Cambridge to include that as a strong case study of very effective collaboration between sectors. Throughout your career, you've been a very strong advocate for advancing the role of women across a wide range of fields. What advice would you give to our next generation of women leaders who might be considering a career in the philanthropic sector?
I advise them not to go into the trap of being a victim. Women in this part of the world, we've been raised to be a victim and to play this role we can take Oscars in that, honestly. And when you, I'm sorry, I know a lot of women will be upset for me, but that's true. I was one of them, but I realized that, no, I have everything that can make me a successful person. What I want from the next generation is to understand that we're not in a fight with the men. No. Men is your partner, your father, your brother, a person who will always support you. Yet on the other hand, women will be jealous from you. So you need to evaluate, right? And I think that we want to work together toward a better future, whether it's a man or a woman. And I want to tell them, do not depend on anyone. I think God was fair enough to create us capable to achieve what we want. So do not underestimate yourself. And you have to put in mind one more thing. Do not be very heroic about, you know, creating future and everything. And no, if you decided to get married and have kids, your kids is your success. And put them as a priority till they are in an age they can move on alone. And enjoy your life. That's my message.
Princess Lemia, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate you on the very important work that you do at the Waleed Philanthropies and as an inspirational and impactful philanthropist yourself. I have no doubt that many young women and men will take inspiration from your experiences and your broader approach to generating philanthropic impact. And I look forward to more opportunities to discuss this with you in the months and years ahead, inshallah. Thank you again.
In Dubai soon, inshallah.